Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So, teacher rally was yesterday, and I know we've talked in the past about where North Carolinians stand on the issues that they were raising, teacher pay, more money for public schools, and all of the specific issues that they were talking about yesterday. Then I kind of rattled off a couple of the items on the list just a few seconds ago. Where do North Carolinians stand right now with regard to those issues as we start to look ahead, not just to this session of the General Assembly, but also the November election?
Well, there's definitely a strong consensus among voters in the state that teachers don't get paid enough. We did a poll last month that found 79% of North Carolinians think that teacher pay is too low, only 3% think it's high, and only 16% think it's about right. So we talk so much about how polarized the state is, but one thing that there's pretty strong bipartisan agreement on is that teachers are underpaid. And when it comes to specifically making the Republicans in the General Assembly, or the General Assembly in general, sort of a target of the unhappiness about this, we asked people on this poll a month ago, do you approve or disapprove of the way the Republican-controlled General Assembly is handling its job when it comes to public education? Only 28% of voters like the job that the General Assembly is doing on education. 59% disapprove, and that's a lot higher even than the overall disapproval rating for the Republicans in the legislature. So this definitely is an issue where voters are with the teachers, and when you sort of put it in a political perspective, they're with Democrats on it.
I'm going to go back to the point that you made in there, but only, 3% of North Carolinians think that teacher pay is too high? And I think that's a point worth emphasizing and re-mentioning, because I think whenever you see media outlets or news stories on the web about it, and there's that comment thread underneath, or people post on social media about it, and you get the comments going on Facebook or on Twitter, you always have a pretty decent contingent there of people saying, well, teachers are overpaid. They work during they get all that time off during the summer and everything. But important to note that the people who, in a lot of cases, dominate the comment thread at the bottom of a news article only represent about 3% of the North Carolina population as a whole.
Yeah, I think we can finally say definitively that the people who are conservative trolls on internet message boards are the craziest 3% of the population on a little bubble on their own.
So where do you think North Carolinians are going to move on this issue now that the rally has taken place? We've seen a number of kind of big, high-profile demonstrations in Raleigh in the recent past. We've seen Moral Monday protests. You just had the launch of the Poor People's Campaign earlier this week. We've had demonstrations in the past in favor of public school teachers, obviously anti-HB2 demonstrations. So there have been no shortage of demonstrations and protests in the past. How have you seen public opinion change or move or evolve or not in response to kind of big events like this?
Well, I think the big thing is keeping the issue in the headlines, because we've obviously had several big issues like this over the last 5 or 6 years that were a big deal for a little while, but then sort of faded away, and that kind of mitigated their electoral consequences. So, for instance, the legislative session in the summer of 2013, when the Moral Monday movement first started, I think people got really riled up for a few months, but then the General Assembly went home and people sort of forgot about everything they had done and sort of weren't as mad about it, calmed down, etc. What we saw with HB2 that I think was a little bit different was that the activist groups involved in that issue, and also the leaders in the business community involved with it, managed to really keep that in the headlines from sort of March, when it first became a big thing, really to some extent all through the rest of the year. And I think that was a big piece of what cost Pat McCrory the governor's race. So I think that is what's going to be really big for these educators to continue the momentum from yesterday's rally, is to manage to keep these issues sort of in the headlines over the next 6 months. And on this poll that we did in North Carolina last month about these issues, we found a lot of sort of specific sub-issues that I think that if educators keep bringing to the fore, the public's with them and perhaps could get some attention. One thing that we specifically asked about was the prospect of raising state income taxes on the wealthiest 1% in North Carolina in order to increase public education funding. 70% of voters support that, only 27% are opposed. So that's a specific sort of policy outcome that people, I think, could push for, that voters do support, for getting more money for the schools. And then some specific things where people want more money. We found 86% of voters think there should be increased funding for textbooks and classroom supplies. 77% think there should be increased funding for support staff like nurses and counselors and social workers. 72% think there should be a cap on health care costs for state employees. So it's really a broadly popular agenda that's sort of been move forward, and I think the key is just how to make that into a movement and not just a moment.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is their website. Go there for more numbers. Also find them on Twitter at PPPpolls. And let's sort of turn attention to the national picture now as we're starting to move through primary season and start looking at the general election in November. I know, again, you did another round of surveys recently of potential battleground congressional districts and states looking ahead to November. Where is the national picture right now?
Well, there's some thinking that maybe things have moved 2 or 3 points in the Republicans' direction over the last 2 months, and that maybe things aren't going to be quite as bad for Republicans as had been previously thought. But we also continue to see evidence that that's not the case. In Pennsylvania on Tuesday night, a couple interesting things happened when they had their primary election. Number one is that Democrats flipped a suburban state legislative seat that had gone for Mitt Romney by 15 points and then had gone for Donald Trump by 3 points. And I think what's really interesting there is the going for Mitt Romney by 15 points and now flipping. Those are the kinds of places that 5 years ago wouldn't have been on the radar screen for Democrats at all as the kinds of places where they could win elections. And now voters in those places are just so disgusted with Republicans because of Trump that Democrats do have a chance to win in places like that. And I think that has implications for North Carolina as well. I think there's some chance, you know, not necessarily a majority chance, but some chance that Republicans could get completely wiped out of the General Assembly in Wake County and to some extent Mecklenburg County as well. And it's these districts like that one in Pennsylvania that are flipping, suburban districts that have traditionally been Republican, and they just don't want to be Republican anymore in the Trump era, even if they were very strongly Republican, even as recently as just 6 years ago. So I think that's one interesting angle. Another interesting thing that happened on Tuesday night is we just continue to see that Democratic enthusiasm is well up sort of in comparison to Republican enthusiasm. In addition to Pennsylvania voting on Tuesday night, Nebraska and Idaho had their primaries as well. And obviously those aren't states that are probably going to vote Democratic for much of anything. But you had in both of those states a situation where Democratic turnout was up considerably compared to 2014 and compared to sort of where Republicans were. Like, more Republicans still voted in both of those states, but it was a considerably narrower gap than you would have seen in past primary elections. And I think that really sort of shows the extent to which all over the country, Democrats are just a lot more motivated to come out and vote in midterm elections than maybe historically they have been.
So still good news for Democrats there. You mentioned the suburban district in Pennsylvania that's flipped from Republican to Democrat after being a 15-point Romney win back in 2012. That's something that you've mentioned before, too, the extent to which Democrats are starting to take those kind of suburban districts outside of major cities. How much of that is the Trump factor, suburban voters just giving up on the Trump Republican Party and moving to the Democrats? And how much of that is a trend from before? I'm asking because you and I are both from Michigan, and we've both observed Oakland County kind of moving a little bit more to the left in the years before Trump than it might have been maybe 15 years ago or so. But is that just an Oakland County thing, or was that a nationwide thing even before Trump?
I think Democrats were probably making some improvements in those areas even before Trump. But I think what the key for Democrats is going to be if they're going to be able to get the House this fall is to win those sort of suburban districts that were still strongly Romney.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them in California. There's some of them in Texas, districts that, you know, voted for Romney by 10 or 15 points. Maybe they would have voted Republican a decade earlier by even more than that, but we're still pretty strongly Republican. And then maybe voted for Trump, but didn't vote for Trump by as much as they voted for Romney by, even though Trump obviously was doing better in the national picture. And now they're reaching the point where they're just like, we don't even really recognize this as our party anymore because they're so unhappy about how things are going with the Republicans.
PublicPolicyPolling.com for more numbers nationally and statewide. Find them online at PPP Polls on Twitter. Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.